and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying, multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which have sadly included pregnancy loss, I am finally pregnant. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Finally Pregnant podcast. This is going to be the last episode for a little while. I had hoped that episode 10 would come next week, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to do what I had hoped, and that is go back to my hospital for what they call birth afterthoughts. And that is a time that you can go back and talk through your birth with a midwife step by step to actually find out what happened. And I feel like I remember a lot of it, but I'm sure there are bits that I either wasn't aware of or don't recollect necessarily. You know, there were in the end quite a few drugs, so yeah, I want to go back and do that. If it's something you're interested in, then I'm sure most hospitals do it. And once I've done that, then I'll finish off this series with that episode, because I just think it would be really interesting, and really selfishly perhaps I'd quite like to have that recorded. What else is going on? Today was a day full of firsts for Ren. We went into London for the first time, and although I'm from London originally, we don't live there anymore, so it was a little bit of a journey for us. We took a train, a tube, and a bus, and it was a success, I'm really pleased to say. It was a bit scary. Do you know, the thing that scared me the most, and I know that sounds ridiculous, and I think I mentioned this last week perhaps, and I know it's a really good problem to have, but I leak a lot from my breasts, and I was really, really nervous about leaking everywhere. As it's turned out, I didn't leak last night, and I haven't leaked all of today. So I'm thinking that perhaps my milk production might have regulated itself, which now means I'm panicking that it's going to dry up completely. It doesn't stop. But going back to our trip into London, we were a bit scared, you know, or I was a bit scared that I didn't have enough stuff, but I was kind of like thinking, you know what, London has got plenty of shops. If I haven't got it, then I can buy it. I was also meeting a lot of the Insta mums, which is really exciting. And they were really lovely, saying if I didn't have it, then they probably would. So, you know, that was all good. One of them also suggested we meet. So we met at one of the stations and then travelled the rest of the journey together. And it was really lovely having a travel buddy. So shout out to you, Julie. And what else happened? So we went to see a play by a theatre company called A Drunken Sailor. And the play is called Baby Go Round. And they are previewing it at the moment. And it's going to be taken to Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is really exciting. It had lots of different kind of scenes about infertility and different stages of a journey. And there were a couple of times that really, you know, made me well up. And I genuinely am grateful for Ren every day. It crosses my mind every day, often more than once a day, how lucky I am to have her. But watching a couple of those scenes took me right back to being in all of those years of trying to conceive. And as I said on my Instagram post, I really held her even tighter today. I'm so lucky, and I'm so happy that she's here and she's with us. And if you guys are listening to this, I know it's not always the case, but I assume that many of you are pregnant, and I know that you'll feel exactly like that as well. It's just a miracle. And yeah, I'm grateful every single day. But it's amazing to go and support things like this. You know, I still am really supportive of everyone in the trying to conceive community. And although I am taking a step back from that at the moment, just because I've got my hands full and I'm just working out what being a new mum is like, it's so important for me to continue to support that whole community, which I do with my company that I run with my friend Alice. This is Alice Rose, called It's Kat and Alice. That's not true. It's called Kat and Alice, but the Instagram handle is It's Kat and Alice. And we've got an event coming up at the end of August, actually, the 31st of August. This is 2019. And so if you know anyone who is trying to conceive and they want to come along to that, then do head over to catandalice.com. Before I tell you about today's interview, I just have to do another little shout out to the Little Green Sheep Company, because on Instagram today, I won one of their amazing organic cot mattresses for Wren. How incredible is that? I'm so happy because we hadn't bought one yet, and we try and keep organic still because we went very organic towards the end of our trying to conceive journey, but it is quite expensive, and so we can't always do that. So I am so excited to have won an organic cot mattress from them. So yeah, a little shout out to them too. Today we're going to be talking to Cara. Now, I met Cara quite early on in my Instagram kind of, you know, foray, and she is from Australia and still living in Australia. And we really just got chatting, and Cara set up, as I mentioned in our interview, a charity in Australia to support people who are TTC. And because I work for a charity over here, we had a Skype call, and we've really just been in touch ever since. And as you'll find out, Cara has had a little girl, but I spoke to her when she was pregnant, so several weeks ago now. In fact, this was the first recording I did for this podcast, funny enough. What Cara has also done for me, right at the end, so there'll be a little bit of music and then there'll be a follow-up where she just talks, you know, just for a couple of minutes about her feelings now, which is really lovely. So yeah, do have a listen. And if you have any questions, you know where to find me. All of the links will be in the bio. And yeah, just stay in touch. I will bring out the birth story episode at some point, but I don't know how soon. I've also started chatting to people about a second series. So that should be coming, I think, in the autumn, hopefully, all being well. I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. If there's anything that you want to hear about, then do let me know. And do let me know what episodes have kind of meant a lot to you. I heard back from a few people, actually. I got some emails from across the world about the screening one last week, which was amazing. So I'm really, really grateful. It's great to hear from you. So do get in touch. As I say every week, please do subscribe, rate and review. Thank you so much. And yeah, that's it for now. This has been really fun. I've really enjoyed making the podcasts, and hope to continue doing it for a lot longer. I hope you've got lots from it. Good luck with all of your pregnancies. And if you're not pregnant, then, you know, I think you're amazing for listening. And good luck with your journey. I really, really hope that it's successful and you come back and re-listen to all the episodes with a different, you know, kind of perspective at that point. Because they kind of, yeah, it's what's happening to you at that moment rather than your amazing bravery and organisation where you're listening to it kind of to prepare yourself for when that happens, which I just think is incredible. But yeah, I'm waffling on now, as I normally do. So I'm going to leave you to the interview with Cara. Take care, lovelies. Bye-bye. Hi there. So we've got Cara with us here today. Hi there, Cara. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Now, we met, I guess it was about a year ago or so, maybe longer, via Instagram. Cara is, amongst many, many things, the founder of Fertility Support Australia, which is a patient-focused charity based in Australia. Cara has been going through her own fertility journey for 5 years and has experienced a lot, but is currently 36 weeks pregnant this week, which is very, very exciting. So, Cara, if I can hand over to you for a minute so you can just kind of give us I hate saying this, but like a brief overview of your TTC journey and how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So, well, firstly, thank you for having me. I think what you're doing is great, as always. You're amazing for the community. So my journey, my husband and my journey, it extends over 5 years, and we are finally now pregnant with baby. And we've had a lot of loss along the way. three different clinics, a lot of miscarriages and chemical pregnancies and mishaps and overstimulation and, you know, just about anything else that came out of the woodwork. And so now to be in this position of finally achieving the goal of pregnancy and being so fortunate enough to hold it and sustain it this long, it's definitely a whole foreign new journey for us. If I could summarize it very briefly like that. Five years of a lot of big roller coaster. Yeah.
And within that 5 years, did you ever, not necessarily like you wouldn't have kept going, no one would keep going if there wasn't hope, but I guess, do you now look back and think, yeah, I was prepared to get pregnant, I was prepared for what the pregnancy was like, or do you think that being pregnant has just been a whole new experience that you weren't prepared for?
Yeah, I don't think I was prepared. Well, I'm not quite sure what can prepare you for infertility, and so I'm not quite sure what can prepare you for pregnancy after infertility as well, especially when you've had, you know, especially when you've had loss as well. I think that's really tricky because one of the things I think infertility does to a lot of women and men I speak to, but a lot of women, is it makes you doubt and have lack of trust in your own body. So that's been a really big feature in our pregnancy so far, is because a doctor can say it looks fine and you're doing good, and the next day that doubt starts to creep in and you start to distrust your body and yourself again. So I don't think you could be prepared for some of those types of moments. That's been, for me, you know, quite a challenge. And I think too, you know, we do almost glamorize it a little bit when we are in the infertility land or TTC land, where you think, oh, it's just a bit of morning sickness or nausea. I'd give anything to have nausea, you know, until, of course, you're that person that just wants to leave the house like a normal person on the way to work and just can't stop vomiting or whatever it is. And then it really kind of does throw you a little bit. So I'm not quite sure there is much to prepare anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're right. Because even though you want that morning sickness, actually throwing up or feeling the nausea or any of the side effects, they are quite difficult to deal with, you know, they are. It doesn't. And I guess with that comes the kind of the guilt, perhaps, of moaning about it or complaining about it. But ultimately, you are like, you're in a painful situation, you know, throwing up is not pleasant for anyone.
No.
So if we move from the side effects and throwing up very smoothly into the appetite, which, yeah, is a little bit grim perhaps, but I guess it does work, because I know when I suffered from some nausea, I was at a very low level. It was really reassuring, actually. I kind of enjoyed it in a weird way. But the way that I solved it was by eating. And we were talking earlier on about the fact that you didn't really have an appetite during your pregnancy particularly.
Correct, yeah. And I'd heard a lot of women similar to yourself that had food that actually made them feel better, and I love my food and it was very unusual for me just not to be interested in it whatsoever, not to be hungry. And you know, and you hear so much about eating for two, and then all of a sudden you can't even, I couldn't even plan, even now still, a night's meal in one night ahead, because I don't know what I'm going to feel like, and I'm very just not interested in a lot of food, strangely. So other than chocolate, of course, actually I should caveat the conversation with chocolate.
I have found my sweet tooth in this pregnancy so bad.
Oh, and it's Easter, so, you know, it's even more tempting with all the eggs. And anyway, so that's been really unusual. And I think what it's done, well, I know what it did for me, is really played on my mind about Am I being healthy for me? Am I being healthy for my husband? Am I being healthy and nurturing my body and myself, and particularly, you know, how precious this baby is and this time is? So that had a little bit of a mind, the lack of appetite had a little bit of a effect on my mind as well, which was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think that, you know, I'm assuming by that you kind of, it made you anxious and worry about, you know, are you being nutritious enough, etc. Did you have a lot of other anxiety?
Yeah, I'm not, and well, I wouldn't class myself as an anxious person, and yet all of a sudden I had these anxious times, whether it be about am I eating healthy, or, you know, should I be feeling something, or what's that pain? When do I, you know, should I speak up and say something? Am I being am I overreacting? So there were all these times and moments that played on my mind. That I was very taken aback by that. My mind, I have always thought I was mentally strong in so many ways, and yet my mind and my body were doing two different things, and that was also a challenge. A good example of that for me was when I was traveling for work, and I had this really horrific cramp in my leg, and I was looking at my leg, staring at it, thinking, stop cramping. This is awful. This is, you know, stop. And yet my body just kept, you know, cramping. I was in this pain. And then eventually, you know, it passed. And then I immediately thought, oh, well, I mustn't have eaten well in the day. I must have been hydrated. And I felt really this, I sort of went into a little bit of a spin in a sense, because I just thought, wow, what have I done, and why couldn't my mind control that? But that's just actually also too the reality of this time in pregnancy, that you can't, what you would like your mind or your body to do isn't necessarily what your body's going to do. It's very, very tough.
So much, definitely. And even when you think that it is pregnancy, there's a little kind of question mark in the back of your mind thinking, like, is this normal? And even though you know lots of things are normal, I was in the hospital just for a blood test a few weeks ago, and I spoke to the phlebotomist and said, you know, I've been having this kind of pain in my top right of my abdomen, and there was something to do with my breathing, and she spoke to the midwife on the phone in the hospital, and they said, go to A&E. And I had said, like, I'm assuming these are normal pregnancy symptoms, and I ended up having to have loads of scans and everything, and they were checking for a clot on my lungs, and everything kind of checked out fine, but it was a really worrying, like, I was there pretty much all day. And then I got a letter, which did vindicate me somewhat, because it said, you know, that they did all these checks and everything was fine. As the patient had suggested, it was just normal pregnancy symptoms, which I was really pleased that I wasn't the one that was overreacting. Not that I think they were overreacting, but you just, you know, at what point don't you check? Like, it's a really hard thing.
Exactly, yeah. And I've had reduced movements because of anterior placenta, and the reduced movements have been really hard to know when to worry or when to get checked. And I think now I overdo it a little bit. But the very first time I went into the hospital and we put on the monitors before the reduced movements, even one of the midwives said, well, you should know what's normal for you and your baby. And I felt really guilted by that. Like, yeah. Oh, but I don't know what's normal. I should know, but I don't know. And then the overall message was, don't ever hesitate and always get them checked. And, you know, I feel the same way about, I know we've spoken about this separately before a little bit, about private scans. I think we've spent so much money in our journeys to infertility, and then I don't know why at times I hesitated to just go and get another private scan done, where for my peace of mind, it just made such a difference. Mm-hmm. And so I really think, and I say to everybody now, they're worth the investment because it's time that you get to bond with seeing your, you know, your baby on the screen, you know, from a little blob at the beginning to when they start to actually develop into more. And never once have I regretted paying for a private scan. So I think they're definitely worth, in my experience, have been worth the peace of mind it's given, because otherwise it was something that could easily spiral in my mind out of control, where you feel like, oh, but am I overreacting? Am I, you know, well, you know, almost like infertility, who cares? It's your money. You should do what you want with your money. And if that brings you extra peace of mind, then so be it. So,
yeah, it's so true. Who are you worried about judging you? You know, and I think there is a certain, for me, I guess one of the things is it was my own self-judgment, I guess, and thinking, come on, like, hold on to this. I'm pregnant. I can do this. It's fine. But like, why am I going to put myself through that when I don't have to, like you say, you know, because it's my money. And if we want another scan, why wouldn't I have that scan?
Yes. And we get this time with this baby once, and I feel like that's really, really important to remind ourselves that it's just not worth the sleepless nights to be worrying about something when just send that email off to the doctor to ask a question or book in that private scan or whatever it might be. And I think it's nice to be reminded too that the hospitals and doctors see far worse patients.
I believe that's what good to know. Yep.
They see far more dramatic people probably than what, you know, you or I will be. We probably just, you know, what we are feeling or questioning is completely normal. Mm-hmm. But also often at least we get the reassurance that, hey, look, it's also completely normal part of your pregnancy as well.
Yeah, because let's face it, we've been through quite a lot. We're pretty tough, actually. So maybe the things that we think we're calling every 5 minutes, you know, like you say, there are people who are much more anxious and much more quick to call as well, whereas we, you know, hold back perhaps.
You
mentioned kind of, I don't know, something there that just made me think. So you are 36 weeks now. So you are coming towards the end of your pregnancy, really, and to welcoming your little one to you. And, you know, you were a few weeks ahead of me, but talk to me about that, because I know I'm already starting to feel like I'm going to miss this little one, you know, and I've got a few more weeks to go. But talk to me about how you're feeling about the pregnancy, kind of that section of it kind of being over, and you know, obviously there's obvious joy about bringing your little one into the world and how exciting that is, but how are you feeling about your pregnancy at this stage?
I think, like I say, other than the obvious joy to be able to see the finish line ahead, you know, so close, and you know, is this really going to happen? And we're really going to hold our baby? And even one of the midwives at the hospital said, when you first have the baby, is a bit of a transition period between the baby saying, oh, okay, I belong to you, and you're looking at this baby saying, I can't believe you belong to me. And, you know, you're really having that connection. And I think that's been true for me, because sometimes where I, you know, you're almost in disbelief as to where you're at and how it's progressing. And you're appreciative of every moment. But even my husband said the other day, I need to look at your stomach more and I need to touch it more, you know, to just appreciate that it's there and that we don't know when we'd get this again. Mm-hmm. And we've definitely had our hurdles and our challenges, but it, you know, it's a very special time to enjoy as well. Interestingly, a lot of people said to me it was that either you would feel anxious throughout the entire pregnancy after infertility, or you would feel it, you know, at a heightened at certain points and then drop off and get better. And I think for me, it's definitely come and gone very frequently, and was definitely higher at the start. But it's not that it's not there now, because now I have another different challenge ahead, which is the actual, you know, the birthing of the child, and again having a trust in our own bodies that we can do this. So I think that's that can also bring its own hurdles as well, because there are certain times when you can at least feel like, okay, well, if I feel you moving, the baby moving the day, then that gives me some reassurance. But equally, it has its own moments and times as well too. So, yeah, it's a very for the most part, it's very positive, I should say. So, it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to plan the pregnancy. That's for sure. Or plan the birth part of the pregnancy. That's for sure.
And how, without, you know, you don't go into as much detail or as little as you want, but do you have really strong feelings about that your birthing options? I don't know, because you're obviously based in Australia, so I don't know, the process might be slightly different, I'm not sure. How are you feeling about the birthing? Are you just want to let it happen, or have you got a strict plan?
We have got a plan, and that is that I'll have a cesarean section, but that plan is as a result of a history of loss and a history of prior surgeries. And I think the OBGYN that I have, he was also the same doctor that removed and has done the DNCs for me in the past, the lapro for my endometriosis is quite bad too. And I think so for me, I trust him, and I actually feel safer going into an operating theater, seeing his face. If that's one thing maybe all that journey gave me, I feel safe and secure walking into a theater with him there, knowing that he is good at what he does and that we are in really safe hands. And it is more controlled or more planned than potentially me trying to trust my body. Now, I don't have a view either way. Everyone's different. Everyone, you know, that could be somebody else's worst nightmare. But for me, I had to look at how far we've come, what, you know, how important this was for us, and what I felt was going to be, for my mental health, the best and the most, you know, smooth outcome, or that would give me the most peace of mind, because ultimately I think what's important is, if you're going to have your miracle baby and rainbow babies for, you know, yourself, myself, that's what they are as well, you want to try to make sure that that your own mental health is in a good position, so that you can really deserve the time that, you know, and relinquishing the time, that's the right word, that, you know, we've worked so hard for, really, that's, you know.
Yeah.
We've really come so far and been through so much. So for some that could be a water birth and that's their dream, and then others natural, and I completely understand. Just for myself, my husband, what we know, we've got a very good health system here in Australia, very good doctors, very very good co-funding arrangements through the government as well. So there's an out-of-pocket cost, but again, they help support that. So for me, that's how we sort of came to the conclusion. And I just simply put, thought, for my mental health, being in the best state possible for my daughter, this is what's going to be the right thing to do. So that's how we sort of came to it. And I have to say, my dad was a little bit more traditional when I first told him, even though it's his first grandchild and he's very excited. My dad of all people was a little bit against it, and it wasn't until I actually pointed out to him, I think you're forgetting here, Dad, our prior losses, our history, all we've been through, and that mental health component. It's not just about the physical process. It's, you know, it's also got a really large mental health component to it that I think those that might judge the process might not consider. And, you know, hands up, say that my dad was one of those people originally. And as soon as I said that, you could sort of almost see the wheel, you know, the cogs turn in his head to sort of say, oh, yeah, okay, I didn't actually think about that. You're right, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Because you do, you know, like you said, everyone has got their sort of dream how it's going to go. And I know when I talk to people now, which I do more so now, especially at kind of pregnancy yoga and things, about what their plan is, you know, we can all have that, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go that way. But for us in particular, you know, I think the control thing is quite important. And it's, you know, and I don't, we haven't made a decision, and we've been quite lucky. Our consultant has said that she'll be led by us, and we can decide what we want to do, and we don't have to decide kind of, you know, our next consultation is not for a while. So, but there is a little bit of me that I can totally see, even though, like, I joke, you know, but I've got three sisters, and all of them have got two little ones, and for different reasons, all of them have had cesareans. And so I kind of say that mine's the most medically induced baby, but I'd love to have the natural birth. But I really, there is a massive question mark over my head about, and you, I think actually you've put into words what I haven't kind of been able to this point, but it is about trusting my body, because all the way through this, you know, for the last 6 years, you know, I haven't been able to trust my body, and I've lost that faith in it. And I'm a little bit, well, not a little bit, I'm a lot nervous about trusting it to go through and, you know, childbirth and deliver me my baby safely. Whereas if I elected for a C-section, you know, then you take back the control. Like, there's no guarantees with that's any right. birth, you know, obviously. But yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. It's completely understandable too, because your body has given you every reason to doubt your body. But then, and especially everything you've been through, yet at the same time now it's conflicting because, hang on, you're carrying this perfectly, you know, healthy baby that's growing and that's flourishing inside of you, that you know, you're doing such a good job at equally. So I can completely appreciate that it's, and that's how I feel, that it can be really conflicting. You want to trust your body, and this is amazing how far it's got us, and we are always appreciative of that. But at the same time, you have this past history of experience. So, you know, that's why I say either way, I could see, you know, whichever birth preference anybody has, I can completely understand either.
Yeah, definitely. There's no judgment here whatsoever. It's just, yeah, what's right for you ultimately. Oh, well, thank you so much, Cara. We really, really appreciate you kind of talking about, yeah, just your little, and you did mention daughter. This is not a secret, is it? So
No.
So yes. Very exciting. Yes. So our girls maybe across the seas one day will meet each other.
Yes. And it's really funny, you know, even just on finding out gender, I've heard other TTCers, other infertility community members say, oh no, I want this to be, you know, the nicest surprise after infertility. And I've, you know, and then there's been people like myself that have said, no more surprises. Like, tell me the gender. Mm-hmm. No, you know, so it's one of those roller coaster things. And I think that when you go through infertility, you see those different stories, people doing different things, and you just have to find out what's right for you, what works for you, and know that it is really amazing if you can keep celebrating each goal, each milestone. That's what definitely I have carried across from infertility into pregnancy, is working towards each milestone. Well, okay, or every 2 weeks, working towards, you know, something new, or just this next scan, or just this next checkup, or whatever it might be. But you know, also celebrate those along the way, and appreciate the time with your partner or with your family, whoever it is, that this is, you know, soon your life will change in a big way. Mm-hmm. And we just appreciate each progress point we get to.
Definitely. And that's something that I've said before, and, like, you know, I'm sure you have said before, and we just have to celebrate each little step that we can, don't we, ultimately? Because it's a miracle that we're here, and it's hopefully go all the way, have our little daughters, and live happily ever after, even though clearly we know that that isn't necessarily how things go. But live our own happily ever afters, that's the key, right, isn't it?
And it's not without, just like in infertility, it's not without those silly little comments from, you know, somebody's, you know, workplace friend or aunt's cousin's sister or whatever it is, it still has, you still have those times, but it, you know, it's definitely an amazing, amazing gift that we've been given too. So it's, you know, has its own challenges, but we, you know, our bodies are doing it every step. You can say, you know, your body's doing it. That's pretty amazing.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, thank you so much, Cara, for joining me.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you coming and sharing your story. And I'll put you in the show notes so that people can come and follow you over on Insta. I think it's R1's Little Story. Is that right? Infertility Support AU.
That's right, yeah. I'll, you know, happy to have the email there and be, you know, have anyone reach out with any questions about any part of the journey. You know, pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, whatever it may be. And and I'm excited for you too, Kat. You really deserve this and for everything you do for the community, so thank you.
Thank you Wonderful. All right then, Cara, we'll take care. Okay.
A big shout out to Kat. Since we've both recorded this latest podcast, we've both been lucky enough to hold our beautiful miracle girls in our arms. So I just wanted to take a minute to reflect back on some of what we discussed. I still truly think that the process of infertility and then pregnancy after infertility has made myself and my husband, for that matter, really thoughtful parents. It's still tough in the sense that you still have the memory of infertility, and of course, you know, it's quite possible that our babies may only be our only baby, whether we would like to give them a sibling or not. But you know, it really does make us a thoughtful and more, I think, more grateful. I say more grateful, but I know everybody has a sense of gratitude for having a child. But we really do hold a lot of gratitude in our hearts. One of the things I find in particular is if something goes wrong or there's a big, like, vomit or, you know, there's a mess or we're just not getting something right, I think we are much more patient. We laugh a lot more and we do spend loads of our time just staring at her and in such awe, I think, and just such amazement of this miracle. So I find that really precious. And I might not have done that so much had I had not experienced infertility. And I think that's really a huge positive to take away. Looking back on the anxiety through pregnancy, I think that it would have been nice to have enjoyed it a little bit more, but the reality is I have to be honest with myself that that really was the truth of pregnancy after infertility and pregnancy after miscarriage. And so it is what it is, and I still love the fact and even in awe of the fact that my body finally did it and finally got there. We, to plan, ended up having a planned and scheduled C-section, and all went really well, I'm pleased to say. I really truly think that that was something for me that was important. I wasn't too attached to having a natural birth, so something that was really planned and organized and controlled after a lot of the history in my life of things that don't go to plan and aren't controlled, that was really nice to have this moment of trust with my doctor and the team that I knew, and it was quite happy. I was really quite, it was quite a happy time, as I think it should be. Obviously nervous, you're always nervous at birth. I can't imagine anyone that wouldn't be nervous during a birth, but very, very happy time. And I think it's so, so special. So for all those out there who are worried through whichever step they might be at, have faith and have trust in your journey. Whichever way to your family, it will happen. And you will have your time, your moments, and that love will come in. So good luck to everybody for the future. Sending lots of love and baby dust to you all. And thanks again, Kat.